Well, Emily, it's a joy, a pleasure to be in your midst again here today. Bring to you once again the good news, glad tidings, Bible calls them. It says it's for all people, even people of Hanley, for anybody and whoever that is that would listen, would hear, take heed, and of course, I'll put their trust in Jesus. He's the good news, all the good news that there is in your sad and broken world these days, going down the tubes, your nation and the world itself, the nations around you. All's going to seed and coming apart. But there's one, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and neither do you, but I do know the one who holds tomorrow in his hand. His name is Jesus, and of course, you trust in him. He'd be your Savior too, your Lord, and of course, keep you through all the troubles of life, all the troubles of this world. Whatever comes to you, comes upon you, you will know the assurance of his love, his life in you that can never die. And of course, to know the forgiveness of your sins, and know that even when it's all over, you close your eyes in death, you open them the other side to behold not the judge of all the earth, but a Savior to welcome you into to welcome you into heaven's glory. So Jesus is his name, God. Bible says in the beginning, God. And of course, the Bible doesn't, some people, they come asking me questions, about the existence of God, and evidence, proof, and that kind of stuff, but, the Bible doesn't go there. God just begins with the statement in the beginning, God. It takes it as read because, we all know that God is because of the things he's made, Look at yourself in the mirror. Each and every morning you see a man, you see a woman, made in the image of God. So the Bible tells us, that we got no excuse for not knowing that he is. We all know that. No such a thing as an atheist. They don't exist. You can call yourself that, but that's not what you are in reality, because in reality there's no such a thing. Everybody knows God is. But who is he and what is he? And what is it that he requires once of you and I? Well, he's a God of love, and his name is Jesus. There's no other God but him. He's a God of love, and that's what he requires of you. It's what he has for you, and what he requires of you in return. That's the very first commandment of the ten that he's given to us. It says, you shall have no other gods before me. That's a claim, that's a call. For you to trust in the one who's your maker, the one who's your lawgiver, and the one who's your judge, will be your judge. And the one, of course, who today would be your Savior, your Redeemer, and the one who would love you with an everlasting love and requires of you and I that we love him in return. Made you, gave you your being, puts breath in your body, sent him that you live and move and have your being, he says, He takes your breath away and you're gone. It's in the palm of his hand, your very next breath. It's by him that you exist. Couldn't exist without him. World couldn't exist without him. It's all upheld by the word of his power. So he takes it away, takes his hand away, and the world's gone, we're all gone. And here's the astonishing thing, you know, that that we exist by him, we can't exist without him, and yet we rebel against him, argue with him, deny him, ignore him, reject him, and reject his counsel. And of course, well, that, where does that get us? Well, that gets us into the mess that we're in now, the world, I mean, and our own society, our own nation. Neglect of, rejection of, forgetting God. Down and down it goes, day by day, getting worse. Just, you look around you, you don't need to be clever, you don't need an Oxford degree. You don't have to have been to Cambridge. You don't have to look around you and see. You look at your own government, huh? All the king's horses and all the king's men can't put this mess back together again. No. They're fallen sinners, just like you and I. And they need God, they need Jesus, they need the Savior. Just the same, just as much as you do. So, as I say, his name is Jesus, he's God. There's no other God but him. You trust in him and you get life eternal. You get love beyond degree. You get joy inexpressible. You get all the blessings of God that he has. And of course, the very heart, the very center of the gospel is this, that God so loved the world, this bad, evil, broken world, so loved the world that he gave. Hasn't given up on it. It's his world. He made it. He created it. By his word of power, no. No, it's not an accident. It's not an accident of evolution. That's nonsense, and you know it is. It's no more scientific than I am. It's a load of hogwash. God, in the beginning, created the heaven and the earth by the word of his power. He brought it all into being. It's his world. It's broken. It's fallen. But he hasn't given up on it. And he won't. He's going to make it all new again. And when he makes it all new again, it's all the inhabitants will be those, he says, who are righteous. And who are those who are righteous? Those who trust in Jesus. Those who believe in him. Those who come to him, put their trust in him. They get the righteousness of God. Because your righteousness, mine, is of no good, is of no value. Your righteousness, as God says, that's your very best efforts. That's your supreme efforts. Your righteousness, as he says, they're like filthy rags in his sight. And so unacceptable to him. So you won't be there if you haven't got the righteousness of God, that is. Not in your own. Trusting in on some perceived goodness of yours, you know, I'm a good person, you see, I'm okay, you know, I don't need God. But hogwash, none good, says God, there's no one good, and there's no one who does good. Well, it might be from your perspective, you know, by your standard, but not by God's, not at all. So the righteous are only the righteous, only they will occupy this world when God makes it all new and shiny again. And that righteousness, well, when you come to Jesus, you put your trust in him, he not only forgives you, he not only takes your sin away, but he gives you his righteousness. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's all a gift, you know, because, well, there's none of us deserves it. What do we really deserve? Hell, in a word. No, there's none of us deserves anything from the hand of God, not even the air that you breathe. But he's a good God. He's the overflowing fountain of all good. There's no good apart from him. No good. No good at all. So you see, you come to Jesus Christ, you put your trust in him, you believe into him, and you get all the benefits, all the blessings of God that he has for a human being in this world and the world to come. You put your trust in him, and he takes away your sin, he takes away that which keeps you from God and from the knowledge of him, of his love, that is. And I don't mean just, knowing it up here. I mean knowing it in here. Knowing his love and knowing that you're saved for time and for eternity, that you're secure, that you're untouchable, invincible, inviolable, unbreakable, that no one can harm you nor touch you, safe in the arms of Jesus. Only safe place in this world, I tell you. Dangerous world, isn't it? And becoming more and more dangerous, eh? When you think it'll be when the next world war kicks off, huh? All the brokenness and all the violence, huh? They can't even contain it in your prisons anymore. Reading in the newspaper today, even those are a tinderbox, ready to explode. Violence, drugs, inside the jails, inside them. You've got it on your streets, but they've got it in the jails now. They can't control them. You're like a nation without a rudder. There is no government. Oh, they might be sitting in their fine houses in Parliament, but they're clueless. They're stupid. Huh? They can't control the ones inside the prison. Yeah? And he's sitting there telling that you can't smoke cigarettes on the street. Huh? And that's running your... Well, not running your country. Supposed to be running it. So like I say, all the king's horses, all the king's men can't put Humpty or your nation back together again. Clueless. So like I say, the Bible, God's word, God's counsel, here I hold it in my hand. The message I bring to you, not my opinion, God's opinion. God doesn't ask us for our opinion. He doesn't ask for yours. He doesn't ask for man's. He just gives us his. Tells us it like it is. No holes barred, just plain straight talking. That's what we need today. He's a holy, he's a righteous God, and he has no truck with sin. But that's the thing, sin. We've all sinned, he says, and come short of his glorious standard. And that's the hindrance, that's what keeps you from him and keeps you from his love, his loving kindness, his great mercy. But he so loved this evil world that he gave his one and only son, sent him into the world. What did he come for? To make you religious? No, he came, Christ Jesus, the Bible says, came into the world to save sinners. That's the only qualification, Hanley. That's the only qualification. That's the only qualification that you need. A sinner. That's who Jesus came for. That's who he loves, died for, rose again from the dead for, came into the world, took our nature, became one of us, lived and loved and died, and rose again from the dead. What for? In order that your sin, your guilt, your shame, your blame, the curse of God that lies upon you, upon mankind because of sin taken away, the wrath of God shifted from off of you, and given the favor, given the free merit, undeserved merit of God. That's what he came into the world for. It's what he came for, it's what he does, what he's still doing today. Men and women all over the world, far-flung places, many, many are turning. Places like Iran, in the midst of that heathen religion, where if you did what I'm doing here today, you would be hanged. You know, but there are many, many people in the midst of that heathen Islamic religion who are turning to Jesus and finding life and love and lasting joy and finding eternal life. Many, many of them have had enough of the sick, damnable, false religion. And you got it now in your country, and by the truckload, or rather I should say the boatload, coming in day after day, filling up your country. And how long before it takes over? How long before Islam is your national religion? Huh? Won't be long. Won't be long. I'll be gone, but it won't be long. So that's what you're faced with, you know. As a nation, Great Britain, well, remove the great, that's no longer there. Just Britain, just naked Britain, destitute of any righteousness, any goodness, anything of God whatsoever, filling up with heathen religion day after day. Say that you're not religious, but of course, well, you will be then. Because don't bow the knee to King Jesus, to the King of love, then you end up bowing the knee to the Son of Allah. Yes, ma'am. Can I help you?
You give you free Bibles.
You like one?
It's for the gentleman up there on 2 sticks.
All right, okay, yeah. How's his eyesight?
Okay.
How is his eyesight, you know?
Oh, his eyesight's all right.
Is it good?
Yeah. It's just he's deaf, though, you see.
Eh?
He's deaf.
Oh, is it right?
Because he lip reads.
Okay. All right.
And he does sign language.
Sorry? There you go. Would he be able to read that, yeah?
Oh, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah?
It's quite
small.
He's got a
magnifying glass, yeah.
We all supplied it.
Sorry?
We all...
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
At least it's not...
Eh?
It's not...
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, have a nice day, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, the King of Love. King of Love, my shepherd is, you know, he's... So this is not, I want to make that clear to you, you know, right from the get-go. You know, this isn't about religion, man-made religion, I mean. You can have that, you've got plenty of it, you know, it's all over the place, like, you know, so... You don't need me to make you that, you know, just go to a mosque, a synagogue, a temple, and they'll fit you up, you know. Anybody can be religious, but not everybody can be saved, not everybody can trust, not all men of faith, the Bible says. Faith, that is, faith in Jesus, faith to trust in God through His Son, Jesus Christ. So listen up and please understand, will you? This is not about man-made religion. This is about what God Himself has done in sending His Son Jesus into the world that you might know His love. It's about love. It's about the love of God. God so loved the world. Herein is love, that God gave His one and only Son and gave Him up to the death of the cross to be a sacrifice for our sin, to take away our sin, so that we might enter into the love of God, know the love of God, experience the love of God, taste the love of God. Jesus is His name. There is no other God but Jesus Christ. He's the only true and living God. He's your maker, He's your lawgiver, He's your judge. One day He'll judge you. Think about it, judge Jesus, the one who today would be the Lamb of God who would take your sin away. The one who today would love you and save you and heal you and restore you and bring you back to God, bring the blessings of God upon you. Think about it. One day he'll be your judge. One day he'll be your judge. If he's not your savior, I mean. Days coming, the Bible says, when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why does the Bible say that Jesus Christ is Lord? Why doesn't it say the Pope is Lord? Why doesn't it say Muhammad is Lord? Because only Jesus takes away sin. Only Jesus can forgive sins. Only Jesus can raise the dead to life. Only Jesus can open the eyes of the blind. Only Jesus can cure your hearing. Only Jesus.
Only Jesus died for you.
Jesus says, Lord.
Jesus said you can do it because I died for your sins. Uh-huh. So whatever you do wrong, I'll pay
for it.
Jesus loves all your sins.
You trust in him?
I trust in him?
Put it in there, sister. God bless you. God bless you, my dear. Have a nice day. Yeah, Jesus died for sinners, and so you put your trust in him, he becomes your savior, your Lord. You live with him, under him, his authority, his power, his love and his grace. So get it, won't you? You know, not man-made religion, but what God has done in sending his son, his one and only son into the world, that you might be loved with an everlasting love. A love that will never let you go. A love such as, I tell you, you've not been there. You've not come to him. You just don't know. You just don't know. A beggar's belief. You know, it's only belief. It's only in believing that you get it. It's only in believing that you receive it. And you come to understand, you know. And it's mind blown, as we say. The love of God. It's beyond, it passes, Bible says it passes knowledge. You know, human knowledge and understanding is inexplicable. For the last 2,000 years, you know, men have been trying to explain to others what the love of God is and what it's like. And I don't think there's any one of us that have succeeded yet. Because it passes knowledge, you know, it's beyond, you know, your ability, you know, to grasp it. It has to be experienced. It has to be tasted. And the minute that you connect by faith with Jesus, the minute you connect with him by faith, his love, his life begins to flow into you and you begin to know it. It's heart melting. It's heart changing. It's life transforming for the better, I mean. The love of Jesus, I mean, the love of God. He is love. And he displayed his love. It wasn't done in a corner. It was done before the whole world. He came and lived and loved and died on that cross so that a beggar like you, bereft of any righteousness, any right standing before God, you are naked and destitute of anything before God, and deserving of nothing but eternal, everlasting wrath. Jesus so loved you, handy sinners, that he came and died that death, suffered the pains of that cross, hell himself upon that cross, in order that you might be forgiven, changed, transformed by the love of God. And it's his love that makes the difference. It's his love that changes. It's his love that's the power. You see, when you gaze upon that cross in the eye of faith and you see that King Jesus, you see that God himself was there on that cross. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. When you see that he, the King of glory, hanged on that cross, on that tree, suffering, bleeding and dying, and you realize it dawns on you for the first time in your existence that he's doing that, he's there, he's entered into that, he's doing that for a sinner, a vile, lost, ruined sinner, who's rebelled against your Maker. He's there doing that for you. When you come to that realization, the knowledge of that, it can but help change you. And for the better, I mean, change you wonderfully well. So that's all I have for you. That's all God has for you. Not another mess of man-made religion, but Jesus, a person, the Son of God, and what he has done, how he has displayed, how he has evidenced his love for you. God loves you. Christ is dead for you. You take him. You take him by faith. That's the only way you can. You come to him. You receive him. Ask a child. Ask any child. Ask a little toddler. How do you receive a gift? Child will tell you. Mr. and Mrs., you just reach out your hand and you take it. Well, he came to his own, the Bible says, his own people, that is. But they didn't take him, they didn't receive him, they rejected him, and they still do. But to them, to those, the Bible says, those who did receive him, to those who did believe on his name.
Jim.
Hello.
Hiya.
Hi. Oh, yeah.
Glory, man.
All right, okay.
Right. Have a good day.
Every blessing.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, good. So here we go. But to all who... He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Born again, Jesus says you must be, don't you know, unless a man's born of God. Born again, that is God supernaturally, miraculously coming to you through the preaching of the gospel. That's what I'm doing here today. Foolishness to those who are perishing, God says. But to those who are being saved, those who are being born again, the power of God, the mighty power of God's love unto salvation. For all, everyone that believes, that is. So you take him, a gift. The gift of God, the inexpressible gift of God, his Son. The Son of his love. The God of love. Love, love, love is what it's about. He's altogether love. He's all over love. He's beautiful. He's the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. Oh, I tell you, he is love to the uttermost. And that's what he has for you. No religious, doesn't ask you to jump through religious hoops. None of that here. None of that here. You just take. You just take. You just believe. He came to his own people, but they didn't receive him. But those who received him, those who believed on his name, those who trusted in him, that is, his person, his lovely person, those who trusted in him and what he has done, accomplished, and what's that? Taking, living the life that you ought to have lived and cannot, haven't, and died the death that's due to you and will be yours if you do not trust in him. If at some point in your life, some point in your history, in that day when you stand before God in judgment, and you can't point back to some point in your history and say, that's when God came to me, that's when I was born again, that's when he came and put his life into my soul, into my dead soul. That's when he came to me and poured his love into my heart, and I became a new creature, new altogether. Lest you can point to such a time in your history, in that day when God judges you. Well, you know, as we see that saying, you're toast, you're for hell. One good bishop said on one occasion, he said, if a man's not born again, the day will come when he'll wish they'd never been born at all. That's not my desire, my hope, my prayer for you today, Hanley sinners, is that even today that you would be born again. That today God would come to you through the preaching of the gospel. That he would speak to you, that voice causes you to hear. And causes you to do. You see, when you hear his voice, mine, that's something different. But when you hear his voice, his voice of love, I tell you, it's compelling, it's irresistible. My sheep, he says, they hear my voice. The goats, he says, they don't. They're deaf. They're stone deaf to the voice of God. But he says, my sheep, he says, that I died for on that cross and rose again from the dead for. My sheep, he says, they hear my voice. And hearing my voice, they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. So my hope, my prayer for you, Hanley sinners, today is that you would hear not just my voice, but his, compelling, irresistibly calling you, drawing you. It's the voice of love. It's the voice of life. These are the things he wants to give you. Not a mess of religion. He wants to set you free. Religion, Mecca's religion, Rome's religion, and all the others in between. They want you for slaves. God of Islam's looking for slaves. God's looking, the true and living God, Jesus Christ, is looking for relationship. God to be your father and you to be his son or daughter. Relationship of love, not slavery. That's religion. Slavery, bondage. None of that here. Freedom. Freedom Jesus came for. To set the captive free. To set men free from such bondage and slavery to religion and religious practices. Set you free from having to dress like Muhammad, you know, or behave like the Pope. Came to bring life and love and lasting joy, but they are found in Jesus only. Only in Jesus, no other. Only in him, believing into him, you get life and love and lasting joy. He came to take away your sin, your guilt, your shame, your blame, everything, all that you've ever done, forgiven, washed and made clean, made fit for living, made fit for life, made fit for purpose, made fit for God, and made fit for heaven one day. And how does it work? How does it work, you say? How do I get there? You say, well, you believe. You believe into Jesus. Into him. He and you and him. You believe into him. He comes and lives in you. By his Spirit changes and transforms you. Makes you altogether new. A new creature in him. All the blessings of God come to you in him, in Christ, in Jesus. But outside of him, nothing. Not even life, just an earthly existence, that's all. Conceived in sin, born in sin, and live in sin in a state of death. Alienated from God and from the life of God. No life in you, there's no life apart from God. Just existence, that's all. But no life. When you come to Jesus, you believe into Jesus, and all the blessings of God, the life and the love, the lasting joy, the forgiveness, the pardon, it's all in him, but outside of him there's nothing. Apart from him there's no life. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. And he who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You see, that's not possible. How is that possible? It is possible because they have his life in them. And his life is indestructible. Risen again, never to die again. And when he puts his life into a dead sinner, that sinner lives, and that sinner lives forever, shall never die. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. My Lord, and I declare to you today. I was asking the question, I forgot to answer it. Why does the Bible say that Jesus is Lord? And not Muhammad, not the Pope, or somebody like that. Because only Jesus lived and loved, conquered sin and death. Only he died on a cross and rose again from the dead. That's why he's Lord. It's a risen Savior that's offered to you, set before you here today. Not a dead prophet, not a dead religion, but a risen Savior who's proved, demonstrated that he has the ability to do the thing that he says he will do if you trust in him. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God. Why? By his resurrection from the dead. Not a dead prophet. What a dead prophet and a dead religion do for you? Muhammad's dead and buried, molten in the grave, just like old John Brown. No life there, no love there, no value there, no power there, no help there. In the mess that we're in the world today, in our society, in your own lives, the mess that we're in and the mess that we've made of it all, we need help, we need powerful, we need mighty help, we need somebody. Huh? I mean, look at the dead religion. They can't even stop the violence amongst themselves. Huh? They can't stop the violence. Huh? Who is their God? Who is Allah when it comes to the violence? In Israel and Gaza, Iran and Afghanistan and everywhere else, where is he? Where is he when it comes to the violence? Is he asleep? Or maybe he's gone to take a leak. Where is he, I ask you? Ladies, tell me, eh? Your God, why doesn't he stop the violence? Huh? Jesus came that you might have love. He came to love, and that's what he does. And he puts love into dead sinners, into rebels. He came that you might have love. So that's the requirement, madam. That you love God. He wants your love. Yeah? He wants your love. He wants to be loved. And he sent his son. Jesus came to make that a possibility. To give you his love so that you can love him in return. And you show that love how? Well, living in love for him and love for your neighbor. So you don't do the violence that religion does. Yes, ma'am. You think so? Not really. Okay, thank you, madam. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Yeah, you know Jesus, you know his love. Yeah? I know of violent people, injurious people. Well, there's one in the Bible, his name is Paul, you know. And he was a very violent man, a very violent, and a very religious man. He tells us that himself in the Bible. I was a violent man, he said. But he obtained mercy. Jesus came to him in his love and changed and transformed him and took that violence out of him. So what need do we do for a religion that promotes violence, I ask you? Huh? It's love that we need. Love that the world needs, but real love. The love of Jesus. the love of Jesus Christ. That's what he came for. So I got Bibles, I've got New Testaments, I got this here Gospel of John. You like to read about Jesus, you like to read about God's love. You can read his words here in John's Gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See in John's Gospel. Never read the Bible before. This is a good place to begin. Here you can read about Jesus, who he is, what he is, and what he has done for you. And how you can benefit, how you can receive him and receive the benefits that he procured through his death and resurrection. So the Word of God written, a Bible, New Testament, this here Gospel of John, freely offered to you, no cost, no obligation to you. You'd like one? Well, you come and ask for one. Gladly and freely place into your hands. Yours just for the asking. And you got any questions pertaining to these matters? Well then, feel free to ask away. Do my best to answer your question. Whatever they be, like somebody pray for you, in trouble, your own fault, somebody else's, distressed, downtrodden, whatever, depressed, sick, ill, you want somebody pray for you, that God would save you, oh, send his Holy Spirit into your heart, then I would be more than happy to do that for you also, if you please. Only here to help. Only here to help. Only here to love you. There's no hate here. There's no condemnation here. There's no judging here. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to condemn you. That's way beyond my pay grade. Jesus himself says, I didn't come to judge men. I didn't come to condemn. I came to save. So there's no judgment, there's no condemnation, there's no hatred here. That belongs to religion. This is the love of Jesus Christ. Just here, simply and only, to point you in the right direction. And there's only one of those. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one gets right with God, that is, except through me. So you like a copy of God's Word? Come and ask for one. Your question, ask away. Somebody pray for you, then I would be more than happy to do that for you also, Hanley sinners. So listen up here, the Word of God for you this afternoon. Now, that was just the introduction. Bible says here, the Spirit and the Bride say, the Spirit of God that is in the church, say, come, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, let the one who desires take the water of life without price. We all say to you, come. God says, come. I say, come. His ambassador says, come. Just come to me, says Jesus. I'll do the business. He's done the hard bit. He's done the living, the loving, the dying, and the rising from the dead. He's done the hard stuff. He's done the work. That's why salvation, that's why life from God, that's why it can never be by works. Your works, mine or anybody else's.
Bless you.
And you, madam. That's why it can't be a works. Because all the work's been done. Jesus has done the work. He's done all the work. And all you've got to do is come. Come to me, he says. No religious hoops to jump through. Yeah. No fancy religious clothes to wear. Just come, he says. Just come to me. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Yeah. All that labor, all that work, all that trying to do good, trying to be good, lay all aside, just come to me, says Jesus. Lay all that aside, forget about working, forget about trying to be good, because you can't be, because you're not. because you are conceived in sin, you are born in sin, because you're a sinner by nature. Come, says Jesus, come, just come. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. Rest for your souls. Peace with God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, be yours. You just come, that's all. I mean, that's not hard, is it? That's not difficult. You don't need a degree in theology. You don't need a degree in anything. You don't have to be clever, smart. You don't have to be good. In fact, if you're good, well then that's a hindrance. Because you're not good. I didn't come to call the good, Jesus said. I didn't come to call the good. If you're good and you're good to go, you're okay. You don't need my message. You don't need my Savior. You don't need my Jesus. You don't know His love. Well, you just carry on. If you're good, you're excluded. I didn't come to call the good, says Jesus. I came to call sinners. Sinners who are in need. Sinners who are broken. Sinners who are fed up with life. Sinners who have no life in them. Sinners who are sick and tired and fed up of trying and trusting in men of all kinds and been disappointed and let down. Sinners who have gotten it wrong, up one side and down the other. Come, says Jesus, just come, that's all. I'll do the rest. I'll do the rest.
What's you for that?
Huh?
What?
No. So like I say, Jesus, you come to Him. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. God and His church, aye, says, come, come, come one, come all. The entirety, the whole of Hanley can come. There's room for you all. Plenty of room. Just come, says Jesus. Just come. I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace with God. An end of the warfare. An end of that hostility, that contempt in your mind for God. And a love for righteousness. A love for God and a love for your neighbor. Even a love for yourself. You self-haters. Huh? Isn't that a fact, eh? And most of you hate even yourselves, never mind your neighbors. God, change you, transform you by the power of His love. Come, says Jesus, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. You're hearing, aren't you? I trust that you've got hearing. Trust that you can hear what's been said. You know, you just hear. If you don't hear, well, you can't be saved. That's why I come to you week by week. The Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how should they hear unless the preacher comes to them and tells them? It's like God tells me, His people, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell them that they might hear, because in hearing, that's how faith comes. Faith in Jesus. Faith in the true and living God. There is no other God but Jesus. You hear the message, you hear Him. That's how faith comes. By hearing. Hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of Christ. Hearing the word of Jesus. You come. You hear. You listen. You take heed to what God says to you. His word addressed to you. That you're a sinner. That you've come short of His glorious standard. That you're devoid of love for Him and love for your neighbor. That every single one of His commandments, we've all of us broken, you yourself too included. But Jesus kept those commandments, every one of them, in a perfect obedience, in an obedience that goes even further than that. Obeyed His Father even to the point of death, death on a cross, for you, for a sinner like you, a lawbreaker like you. Jesus, the Son of God, hearing of his death and resurrection, lived and loved and died, rose again from the dead, take away your sin, your guilt, your shame, your blame. Lift the holy displeasure, the wrath of God from off of you, set you free, and baptize you in his love, love beyond degree. That's the love of God. That's the love of God in the gospel. You won't find it anywhere else. You won't find it, certainly won't find it in atheism. You certainly won't find it in your world religions. Certainly won't find it there. Only in the gospel. What is the gospel? It's good news. What's the good news? Christ is dead for sinners. What's the good news? You come to him. You hear him. You hear his voice. And you follow him. You do what he tells you. You follow him. Come, he says, follow me. You follow him and you get life, and you get love, and you get light, and you get lasting joy. Joy inexpressible. He says that no one can take away from you once he gives it to you. Oh, they might hate you, they might persecute you, they might mock you, they might do all kinds of things to you because you love Jesus, but they can never, never take the joy that he gives away from you. It's like his love. It's like his life that he gives. He gives to those who follow him, those who come to him. It's everlasting, everlasting love, everlasting life, everlasting joy, everlasting righteousness. You come to him. That's the good news. You come to him with your filthy rags. You come to him with your sins. You lay them there before the cross. And you leave them there because you're not taking them with you. You leave them there. He takes them away. And he gives you his righteousness. That's the deal. You come, you trust. You come to him in faith. You come to him believing. You come to him trusting. Trusting that he's able to do the thing that he says he will do. If you can believe, he says, everything is possible to the one who believes. You believe? Only believe, he says. Only way forward, only way into Jesus, the only way into love, the only way out of the mess of sin and the judgment, all the judgment that's to come. Because the day comes when we stand before Judge Jesus. The day comes when we give account. Every idle word, Jesus says, we give account for on that day. Never mind the bad ones. Every word you give account for. Even this occasion when you heard the gospel, the good news, when Jesus was declared to you, amongst you. You heard the overtures of his love and yet rejected again. And of course, well, you don't know how soon that will be, do you? Oh, yes, I know. When you're young, you think you're going to live forever. You know? Well, death, you know, accidents, tragedies, these are things that happen to other people, not me. Huh? But it does.
Excuse me, are you a priest?
No.
No.
Just a preacher. Just a preacher.
No preaching.
Yep.
So you're not like legal for the
I'm a minister.
No, I just wanted blessing.
You wanted what?
Blessing of God.
You want me to pray for you? Huh?
Yeah.
Have you got a Bible?
No, I've got mine.
You want a Bible?
I'm turning the yellow and dying, that's it.
Are you?
Prayerful.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, I will. I'm sorry to hear that. But would you like a Bible?
Yeah.
How's your eyesight? Is it good?
Yeah.
Eh?
got some of them cheap glasses.
Right. Hang on.
You're at a local church, LD?
Yeah. Hang on a minute, just for a second. Right, here's a Bible book.
You don't chug stuff so well.
That's all right, don't worry.
No, it's all right. It's a joke.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Right, that there, look, is John's Gospel. John's Gospel, right? That's the place to begin. Okay, yeah, take that as well, yeah? Okay?
Where's the church, then? Sunday's
when? Do you know where Hope Street is? Just down the corner.
Down there.
Yeah, on the corner, Hope Street.
Over there, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good church.
Yeah.
Let me pray. What's your first name?
June.
Can I help you, sir?
Crazy.
Oh, see, it's
okay.
Oh, it's okay. Let me pray for you. Dear Lord, Jesus, thank you that you hear and answer our prayers. Lord, I pray for Julie. I thank you for bringing her to me. And please, as she reads the Bible, that you help her to understand it. You reveal yourself to her. She says she's terminally ill. I pray, Lord, please, that you would take that sickness from her, that you would grant her healing, Lord, if it be your sovereign will. But please, Lord God, please bring her to a knowledge of yourself, to know your love, to know your forgiveness, and to know eternal life. Lord Jesus, please be merciful, be gracious, be kind to her, save her, Lord, with blessing. Upon us, dear lady. We ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you,
Thank
Julie.
Thank you.
God bless you, Julie.
Jimmy. Thank
yeah.
you, Jimmy.
Okay, you're welcome
Thank
there. You're welcome. Enjoy that Bible, yeah? Okay. So, as I say, friends, you know, it's, we all think, you know, it's something that never happens to us, you know? The cancer. Oh, it happens to other people, not me. But you know, there's a thousand, a million ways, you know, by which our lives can be brought to a termination in this world. Young people die too. You don't have to be old. That day's coming, you know. The Bible says, you know, it's appointed for men once to die. Why? Young lady asked a question once of me. She said, why does everybody have to die? Answer, because we're all sinners. The wages of sin is death. You see, you're not a sinner. Well, two things, you call God a liar. And the other thing, well, I challenge you, if you're not a sinner, well, the only way you'll ever prove that is by not dying. So if you never die, we'll all know that you are not a sinner. But if you die like everybody else, we'll all know that you are a sinner, just like the rest of us. But Jesus came for sinners. Jesus loved sinners. He died for sinners. Sin he came for. I didn't come to call the good, he said. I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. So come one and all. Come the whole of Hamlet, there's enough room for you all. Just come, says Jesus. Let the one who hears come, and let the one who is thirsty come. What are you thirsting for today, the alehouse? You'll have to go back again and again and again and again. It'll never satisfy you. You hunger for money? Doesn't matter how much you get, doesn't satisfy. You thirst after material things. It doesn't matter how much you get. It doesn't satisfy.
What are you getting out of this?
Hey,
what are you getting out of this?
Nothing. What do you mean?
Are you Catholic?
No.
What are you?
Protestant.
You're a Protestant?
Yes.
So what are you getting out of this?
What do you know what I get out of it? I'm here for people. I'm here because I love people. I'm here to give, I'm not here to get. I'm not here to get. I'm here to give. I'm here to give you the love of God and Jesus Christ.
I don't want the love of God.
Okay then, well, on you go then. On you go, there's nothing for you then. That's all I've got. That's all I've got. Nothing but the love of God. You don't want it?
No, I don't want it from a Protestant.
Right, okay. Well, you won't get it from anybody else. No. The Pope's damnable religion. He's going to hell. Pope, every one of them.
Oh.
Yeah, every one of them. And all these priests as well, they're going to hell as well. It's a damnable religion.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mary's dead. She can't do nothing for you. Only our son, Jesus Christ, only he can save you. You need to get out of that religion, boy. You need to get out of that religion. So like I say, the love of God. The world's full of religion, eh? The Popes and Mohammeds, eh? Both the same pagan religion. Just the same. It's all it is, pagan religion. Doesn't save anybody. There's no Pope, there's no priest has the authority to say to anybody, your sins are forgiven. That authority, Jesus tells us, belongs to him and him alone. He alone has the authority to say to you, your sins are forgiven. You come to him. You hear the gospel. Come here. You who are thirsty. All the material things in the world, I tell you, that you thirst after. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? All these things, all the stuff of your prosperous society cannot quench your thirst, hungry sinners. Let him who is thirsty, let him come, let the one who desires, the desire for God's love, the desire for forgiveness, the desire for life, the desire for God's favor, slightest desire, come, says Jesus, come, but to me, not to a religion.
Are you doing this all day?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You come to me, says Jesus, directly to me, not through a pope, not through the priest.
What's this?
You come to me, you come to me, says Jesus. You come only to me because he alone, the Son of Man, has the authority to say to you that your sins are forgiven, that you're right with God, to give you the Holy Spirit, to give you life, to give you light, to give you joy, to give you all the blessings of God. Jesus and him alone. There is no salvation in any other, no other name under heaven given amongst men by which you must be saved. Jesus and him alone. There is no power, there is no authority in his mother Mary. She's dead and gone as well. She was a sinner herself. She says in the Bible, Mary, the mother of Jesus, the Virgin, I rejoice in God my Savior, she said. What did she need a Savior for? Because she was a sinner, just like you and I. So what can another sinner do for you? Huh? But help you to sin no more. It's a spotless, it's a sinless Savior. It's her son that you need. And she tells you in the Bible, whatsoever he says to you, Jesus says to you, do. So take no heed. Take no heed to these pagan religions, I tell you. There's no value, there's no power, there's no authority, there's no love, there's no life, there's no light there. If they speak not according to this word, God says it's because there's no light in them. Mecca's religion, Rome's religion, neither of them any light in them. The word of God, the Bible, is the light given to you. That's why I offer you Bibles, New Testaments, Gospel of John. Read. It's a light for your feet and a lamp for your path. to guide you into the path of righteousness, into the path of love eternal, everlasting, joy and happiness, life eternal, escape the wrath to come, wrath of God present, and the wrath of God to come. So you come, let him, the one who's thirsty, come, the one who desires, take the water of life without price, without money, without price, no cost. Can't be good for it, you can't work for it, you can't pay for it, you can't do nothing for it. You just take it, take the water of life, take it without price, take it freely, says God. You take. Came to his own, but his own people, but his own people did not take him, receive him, believe in him, trust in him, rejected him, crucified him, nailed him to a cross. And all that was in God's purpose. All that was planned of God. So that you could have the water of life by coming to Jesus. Coming to him and coming to him alone. No other. No other good enough. Unlock the doors of heaven and let sinners like you and I. Muhammad can't do that for you guys. Muhammad can't do that for you. What do you want?
What if I'm a
child? So what does that mean? You're a human being, that's all you are.
Yeah.
And a sinful human being. Yeah.
So why are you talking about religion?
Because their religion is not according to God and according to his love.
So is it any of your business?
Yes. Yes, because it's my business.
It's not your business.
It is my business. I'm
why have you got a camera?
I'm a minister of the gospel.
Why have you got a camera?
And my business is to tell people who are trusting in
you
that which is a lie.
All you do is
do you want an answer to your questions or not?
What?
Do you want an answer to your questions or not?
Yeah.
Then ask the question and shut your mouth and I'll answer them.
Yeah.
Either that or get on your bike.
I don't have a bike, I have a scooter.
So like I say, and they said, like I say, Jesus, him alone. Not religion you need, but Jesus. Son of God, the love of God. The love of God. God so loved the world, so loved you. Gave his one and only Son up to the death of the cross. Your forgiveness. Take the water of life, you just take. You take Jesus and you get the water of life. You take Jesus, you get it all. Just take, 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 that's all. Just take. Not rocket science, not hard. Just take. He's offered to you. He said before you here this afternoon. He's here in the preaching of the gospel. Through myself as ambassador. He pleads with you, not stronger than that. He begs you to be reconciled to God. How? By taking him. Taking Jesus. To be yours. Your Savior, your Lord. Trust in him. Believe in him. And you get the water of life. You get the love of God. The forgiveness of God. You get everlasting life. It's offered to you. How many years for the taking? Like to read more about it. I have Bibles, New Testaments. I got this here Gospel of John. Offered to you quite freely. No cost, no obligation to you. You're simply only for the taking. You like what you come and ask for? What? No.
Please?
No.
I want to be a Protestant.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
I think you're a liar.
I swear to Adam and Nancy, I'm going to be a Protestant.
Yeah?
Yeah.
If you destroy that, you destroy that boy, God will destroy you.
Yeah.
You better believe it. You better believe it, boy.
Okay, boy.
Yeah. You're an arrogant young man.
I'm a what?
An arrogant and an impudent young man.
What does that mean?
I pray that God will have mercy on you.
I don't want your bike. You snatched that off me.
Get on your bike then.
I don't have a bike.
I'm going to buy one. So like I say, friends, it's here for the taking. Just like Jesus, the Word of God, read, study, meditate upon the person of God's Son. See how lovely, gentle, meek, mild, kind He is, loving kindness itself. If you like a copy of God's Word, you come and ask for one. If you've got a question, feel free to ask it. And of course, you like somebody to pray for you, then I would be more than happy to do that for you also. God bless you, Hanley. And have mercy. Mercy, I say, upon your precious, precious, never dying souls. Too late. Too late.
Do you